There we go. All right, you're live on the Arms Room with Glenn.
John.
And Drew.
Drew's ish. Almost dead.
Ish.
She's dying slowly, but hanging in there. Thanks, babe, for coming in and doing the show for us anyways.
Do I get extra pay?
Yes.
Don't I get some type of COVID pay?
Yes,
something?
You get hazard pay for this, or whatever you want to call that. Oh, man. You had kind of a rough day. What's up, dude?
I don't know.
John's back.
I'm back.
How long has it been? A month now?
Yeah, because I had to play catch up last Monday. So I was back in town last Monday, but I had to play catch up on orders because I was gone for the 3 Mondays prior to that.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, right on. Thanks to all the patrons for your support of the show. Make sure you're checking out the extra show that we did last week. Our buddy Matt Shazda was in the studio with us to do the regular show and also stayed to do the extra show with us as well. So that's good stuff. Make sure you're looking at all the other benefits you guys get. And don't worry about the videos from the schoolhouse classes. We're getting that thing nailed out. And the schoolhouse is done for this month. But since we missed it for the patrons, we're actually re-recording those classes. And I'm going to do basically a recorded class just for our patrons.
Nice.
And then we're going to – and it'll be live. So we'll pre-schedule it so that people can come do it if they can. And then they'll be able to answer or submit their questions afterwards. And then we'll do it right here. So those classes will be pre-recorded or recorded just for our patrons because we've had some weird freaking issues with this other damn platform. And but then by January when the classes start up again – I'm sorry, December I meant when the classes start up again, we'll be ready to rock and roll with the recording for the schoolhouse stuff. So.
Nice.
Worry not. You'll get the content that we promised no matter what. All right. Independence Training annual events. If you're kind of out of the loop, we've got Black Friday this Friday after Thanksgiving.
God.
And Out with a Bang December 27th. Both of them up at Ben Avery in Phoenix. Black Friday is going to be a focus on pistol and carbine marksmanship. It's a marksmanship class only. No defensive tactics. No torsos, no talk about killing people, just shooting better. And then December will be our Out with a Bang event. That one is going to be based on team communication and movement, how to work with someone else if you both have guns out, or even if you don't both have guns out, but you'd like to move through a space and keep track of each other. And we're going to talk about or go over those concepts. Both of these events, super low round count, very, very low round count. Bring a fucking 22 if you want. It'll work, right?
Yeah, the fundamentals apply across the board. Doesn't matter.
Fundamentals are fundamentals. So heads up on that. If you guys are in the area and interested in training, there's some very particular classes. We do these classes specifically every year.
Yeah.
They're always different. Sometimes they're fighting classes. Sometimes they're shooting classes. Sometimes they're force-on-force stuff. Sometimes they're medical courses. We've done all kinds of stuff. So, you know, keep an eye open on that. I don't really know any other news. I don't fucking care. Mostly no. About the news. I've seen a lot of things that are disturbing to me, that's for sure. But other than that, you know, the election's still up in the air. I have opinions about that. I'd rather not say.
I have probably some unpopular opinions about that.
It's still fucking hot as balls here.
Yeah, it's still hot as fuck.
Yeah, why is it still? It was 85 yesterday at the range.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like 75 today.
Climate change.
Whatever.
It's supposed to be 70. No, it's supposed to be 80 today.
Is it? Son of a bitch. What's your unpopular opinion, John? Love to hear it.
All right. So this will take us back in time a little bit to the broken toaster.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
All right. Okay. The system is broken, right?
Yeah, we know that.
Here's the thing with the election.
Uh-huh.
Regardless of how the chips fall.
Yep.
The people spoke. Sure. If there was extreme voter
fraud.
Even
the dead people spoke.
Hold on. I'm about to get to that. Even if there is, it turns out that there was massive voter fraud and the election was stolen, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's a fucking tragedy, right?
Mm.
But
not far-fetched.
But let's just say that it turns out that it wasn't.
Okay.
Right? And that the Biden won legitimately.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then the next tragedy is going to be when Trump or whoever refuses to accept that and they continue to try and drag this out.
Sure.
The process is there in place.
Mm-hmm.
The process has been there in place for years.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really changed all that much. Not on really. The federal level. Mm-hmm. State level is, and I'll get to that. That's mm-hmm. part of the unpopular opinion. So that's the shitty part about this entire situation.
Uh-huh.
Right? And one way or the other, it could turn into a fucking tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the whole thing's a tragedy either way, regardless of how the chips fall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And regardless of which side you're on. The whole thing's kind of a big fucking travesty right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't like the way the chips fell,
mm-hmm.
pay attention to your local shit. That's what matters, right? Who the president...
Overall,
has very little to do with your normal day-to-day life, right? Mm-hmm. Never really has, at least not in my lifetime or most of the people that I know's lifetime,
uh-huh.
right? It's the local stuff that matters. Your election commission officials. Weird, didn't know you elected those, did you? I bet most people fucking didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Your corporation commission officials. Your fucking justices of the peace. Your fucking sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Your state representatives for your district in your state. Those are the things that matter in your life. Those are the elections that most people don't really pay that much attention to anyhow. So those are my somewhat unpopular opinions on this. And maybe they're not as unpopular as I think they are.
I don't think that's unpopular.
But either way, someone got elected. Someone's not going to get elected. Doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things who the fuck gets elected. Everybody was up in arms and sad and boo-hooey about Obama being in office for 8 years. Well, guess what? Mr. Trump, or President Trump, because I can't call him Mr. Trump because of other things I do in my life, President Trump has done more bad shit for the Second Amendment than Obama ever did.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true story.
I'm just saying. That's my unpopular opinion on the election thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm at this. Here's where I'm at. I'm not going to believe the results either way.
Yeah, I mean that's the great tragedy of the entire
grand,
thing.
Giant slap in the fucking face evidence. That the whole damn thing is broken. You okay, Ben? Don't die.
Have some of that. Drink some of the glass jar. It'll knock whatever.
Yeah, moonshine, babe.
It'll take whatever's in there and kill it.
This is such a slap in the face.
Oh, yeah.
That our government is so corrupt. They hate us so bad. If you still believe anything that the government says, listen closely, you're a fucking idiot.
True story.
I don't care what it's about. There have been certain people I've encountered in my life that once discovered that basically everything they ever told me was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to not trust them anymore.
Mm.
Now, if someone lies to you once or twice, okay.
Depends on the severity of the lie.
Depends on the context. Depends on the severity of the lie. Depends on the context.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends on a lot of things, right? But everybody kind of lies a little, right? Anyone who says they've never lied
is a liar.
Right? Because whether it's a little tiny guy or whether it's a really big guy, right? If you told your kid
that the tooth fairy was
real. The tooth fairy is real.
You're a fucking liar.
You're a liar, right?
Like it's that easy.
The context of why you did it might be acceptable,
right?
But overall, you lie,
yeah,
right. So the point is that everybody, at some level, has lied about something. All right. If you have a DD-214, you probably lie.
Fuck. You've told a story or two.
So my point is this: I have and will always believe, all the way back in time travel, like John said, the toaster's broken.
Yeah.
The system is toast. It's gone. It's fucking gone. And if you don't think that that government will use all of its powers to take all of your liberty and all of your money and all of the control over you and your life, listen closely.
You're an idiot.
You're a fucking idiot.
Also, taxation is still theft.
And taxation is still theft. If you voted yes on any proposition that increases taxes, you're a fucking idiot. Stop listening to the show.
I'm an idiot.
Stop.
You want me to stop co-hosting the show?
Leave the room, John. Taxation is theft, man.
I had reservations about it.
Any taxation is theft. Anytime somebody gets to come into my pocket,
right,
and take my money,
right,
and then have absolutely no accountability for how they spend it. First, going into my pocket already is a problem.
But they do have accountability.
Also, they fucking don't.
It does exist.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It does not, because the system is so big. The system is so corrupt. There's so many organizations.
We're going to end up with the toaster's broken part.
Yeah, there's so many organizations. They have, by design, created a convoluted system so insanely complex.
They did not create the system.
They
did not create it.
We allowed it to be created. But that's not just on us in this room. That's not just us of this generation.
Right.
This also goes back all the way back to like New Deal type shit. I'm talking back in the 30s, back in the 20s.
Yes.
If you allowed those kind of things to happen, you're part of the problem. We're all part of the problem. We're all part of the problem because now here's what's happened. A presidential election, which I would definitely say overall for our country is quite likely one of the most important things in our country. I don't care if you go left. I don't care if you go right. I don't care if you go straight up the middle. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's your vote. It's your opinion. Mm-hmm. I respect it. We don't have to get along.
Yeah.
But I do respect your opinion.
Right.
Right. So I, looking at this giant freaking thing.
Oh, it's a fucking debacle, dude.
It's why? Why are people not like collectively standing up and being like, we need to protest this?
Because people are bitches.
Where did all those protests go? Overnight. Gone.
And now they want peace and love between neighbors. Have you seen all those new signs?
Oh, I'm sorry. You were tearing down the signs and the flags and all that kind of stuff of the candidate that our side wanted. Mm-hmm. You were threatening to rape our women and burn our home. Where the fuck are you at now, motherfucker? I'm still here. I don't forget that shit. Mm-mm. You coward-ass bitches, I'm totally 100% on board with you coming to – I'll give you my fucking address. I'll be there. I'll be there with open fucking arms. Come on over and let's fucking discuss the shit that you fucking talked previously.
I don't know that my arms will be open, but I'll do everything in my power.
My fists would be filled of fucking guns.
Make sure the bolts are open.
I'm not into this shit, dude. Like, no. Fuck you and your fucking peace.
They acted like little toddlers. I mean, they acted just like
Mila. And there's no repercussions to that.
They throw a fit. They scream and throw a tantrum. They break shit.
They destroyed cities.
Yeah.
And we did
nothing about it. And now all they want to do is ELE, everybody love everybody. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you're a psychopath. Like,
never going to fucking happen.
You legitimately are a psychopath.
That's never going to happen.
Like, how the fuck can you process throwing that much of a tantrum and then all of a sudden be like, oh, yeah, everybody just needs to get along. Let's love our neighbors.
It's just like a fucking toddler.
That's exactly what I just said. It's a toddler. Like, it's like Mila.
It's literally exactly what it is. I don't want this food, Dad. This food sucks.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. You're like, what the
good thing you're fucking
fuck
cute,
is
kid.
What's wrong with you?
So I'm trying to find right now.
But what do you do to those toddlers? You discipline them for their bad behavior. Yep.
Personal responsibility is gone.
Just like Mila, she does that. She has to pick that shit up.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't do it because she knows better. She doesn't have tantrums anymore. But when she did, she got disciplined for it. We made her pick everything up that she destroyed. I mean, even sometimes now she'll throw her shit. We're all right, well, that's either going in the garbage or you're going to go get it.
My kids do a lot of burpees.
I'm trying to find
smart
divers. Well, Mila enjoys running, so we can't use running as a punishment because she loves it.
My kids hate burpees. They're really good at them. But they fucking hate them.
So this is from back in February of
and now
I'm
back to going to dying.
Yeah, Drew used all her energy to rant.
I did.
Got to get her fired up a couple more times. She'll be all right.
So February of 2020, two U.S. soldiers were killed, six wounded in a so-called insider attack in Eastern Afghanistan's Nagarhar, whatever province.
Nagarhar.
Late Saturday, when an Afghan dressed in an Afghan army uniform opened fire. The men killed were Sergeant Javier Gutierrez, 28, and Sergeant Antonio Rodriguez, also 28.
That was February?
There were six total service members so far lost in Afghanistan.
In 2020?
Mm-hmm.
That's it? We only lost six?
Just six. So here's my question. Here's why I brought that up. We have historically and always sent our fighting service members
mm-hmm.
overseas
mm-hmm.
to fight other people's problems,
mm-hmm.
to create problems with other people,
mm-hmm.
to maybe or maybe not solve problems for us and more likely solve problems for a power-hungry government.
Mm-hmm.
In 19 years
mm-hmm.
of combat in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
of men and women, heroes, going overseas to defend our liberty, to defend our freedom, fight them over there, we'll fight them over here. Have we gotten more or less liberty in America in 19 years?
Less.
Yeah, of course it's less.
By a lot. Have taxes increased or decreased?
Can you say that about – pick a decade.
Are our children safer or less safe? You can pick any decade, right? You can pick any time.
Pick a fucking decade.
Here's my point. What if in 2020 we deployed the same number of fighting men and women within our own borders to defend our actual best interests?
Glenn, you're too dumb. You don't understand your best interests.
I guess I don't. I would rather.
That's the answer. They don't.
Those two men that I just read, I would rather they died here fighting against this bullshit that we have to deal with. Than them fighting in Afghanistan for what?
Nothing. Money.
For
that's
what?
Money. That's the answer.
That's it.
It's for fucking money.
So I'll go back to the idea of...
It has been about money.
It's always been that way.
I'll say since about halfway through Korea.
Oh, I'd say it's way before that guy.
I don't know. World War One was money. World War Two was fairly legitimate.
I just meant like the government.
No, the government's always been fucked.
Every war...
After about three generations, the government was fucked.
How is it possible that in every war, the politicians involved in the war get richer? How is that fucking possible? And we as a people do nothing. I'll tell you why we don't do anything.
Because we're bitches.
You got us by the balls. What are we supposed to do? Rise up? They will take you and villainize you instantly.
Yeah.
You do something they don't like, their reach is so vast. They have recorded everything. They have listened to everything you've ever said around an electronic device. Even they know all that shit. We used to think, oh, that stuff's not recorded. Then we find out it's totally fucking recorded. It's all recorded. Social media is all recorded, man. They're all in it together. And this isn't conspiracy theory shit. This is proven fucking fact.
Yeah.
They literally want to burn you down because you rise up and say something, will burn your ass down.
It's communism.
And people are like, oh, the cops will never go door to door to take guns or anything. They don't. Yes, they will. And here's why.
At some point.
They're not going to go like, all right, my fellow jackboot thugs, we're going door to door taking all these free people's guns because fuck them. That's not the way it works. If you think that's the way it works,
you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. A cop or a National Guardsman or a reservist or even an active duty guy, whoever it's going to be, is going to get an order that says.
It's going to be John knocking on your door.
Well, here's what it says. They say, this person.
I'm in the fucking guard.
Right? This person, this crazy person, right, has threatened to do harm
right.
against his family, against his neighbors, and against his community. He has certain amounts of firearms, he has certain amounts of fucking magazines, and he's a threat. We need to deal with him. Go to this house and fucking deal with him. And then that's what they'll do. That's what they do every day. You think a SWAT cop has read the fucking dossier on every single person he kicks the door in on? You think every military service member before they went on an op knew everything about all – see this fucking picture?
That's the guy.
This is the dude.
That's
your
job.
Capture him or we're going to fucking kill him. It's kill capture, right? Or this is a kill, or this is a capture, right? This is a fucking guy. Or they go, you see this fucking place? We're going to patrol this shit, and if you get in contact, you fuck fight back. You don't even know why you're going into that area. You have no idea why those people might not be happy with you. You have no idea why people might be fucking shooting at you. All you know is they said, do this. And so that's what you go do. You're a tiny, you're not even a cog in the wheel. You're like a grain. Yeah, you're like a grain of wood in the tooth on the cog. Yeah. You are fucking insignificant. No one's going to tell you anything. You don't need to know anything. And off you fucking go. Ryan says, those toddlers grow up, get jobs, pay taxes, and their empathy-based politics suddenly turns right. It's the natural order of things. I would say maybe sometimes, but here's the issue. It's like, I remember standing next, I was living up in Prescott. I had this neighbor, and we didn't really agree with a lot of things politically, but we still talked to each other because we lived pretty close to each other. And so one time we were out there talking. It was right after the first Obama election. Mm-hmm. And we're standing out in the yard talking about whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, I know you probably aren't super happy about this Obama thing. I'm like, it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? The people spoke and they voted. And this is the thing that we have to accept. And we will roll with these punches. And that is what we will do. And we got to talking about some other things. And now this guy, okay, he was going through school to work in his profession. His wife was stay-at-home mom, and because he was in school full-time, working a very part-time job, and she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, they were on all kinds of assistance, right? And he and I had discussed, like, how I didn't really agree with that concept. You know, it's like, yeah, man, I get that you're going to school and everything, but, like, you can still fucking work mm-hmm. more. Your wife could work. Like, there's better ways than necessarily this at this time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not judging you or anything, but you're asking my opinion. At the time, he was asking my opinion, so I'm fucking give it to him. And he said, well, yeah, but here's the way I think of it, man. If I can finish schooling, I'll get into this great job. And this is kind of to Ryan's point of what he just said about the, you know, they grow up and pay taxes. He's like, I'll get a good job. I'll pay more into the tax system. And then I'll be okay with that because I'll remember this time when that money helped me and I'll be like paying it back. And I go, let me stop you right there, Chief. All right, there's two things that are going to happen. One, when you start making money, when you're actually working hard and making big money, you're not going to want to give it up. And two, no. Because once you realize how the system actually works, you're not going to be interested in paying back into it. So I guarantee you, because his whole thing was like, oh, these corrupt, you know, rich folks are all just hiding their money and they should be paying. And I'm like, no, they shouldn't be paying any more than you or I would pay.
It's your job as as a U.S. fucking citizen to pay the minimum fucking taxes possible.
I totally agree.
That's your fucking job. Mm-hmm. And those people that get mad at people that do it, like when you get mad at fucking Donald Trump for not paying X amount of fucking taxes, well, mm-hmm. it's not anger that you're experiencing. It's actually jealousy because he was smart enough to get the right people to help protect his money and pay the minimum liability possible. Mm. Like that's how that system's supposed to work.
So the whole idea is we live in a country with a vile, vile government.
Yeah.
And now it's turning into a socialist
government. They've made a circus. They've made a fool out of all the American people. Mm-hmm. We're all being made the fool. Publicly, we are being made the fool. Publicly, we are being shamed as the American people. We are being shit on right mm-hmm. now. The fact that the election was several weeks ago and we still don't have any kind of real result from it, that just is so obvious. We already knew it anyway. This makes it even so much more odd. The fact that the national news media ran with the president-elect – there's not even a real fucking term. That's not an office. He doesn't hold anything. He's doing fucking news. Hold on. He's doing fucking news things with president-elect Biden. And he's giving his opinion. Like, he even gives a fuck. You're not even
– But that's a real thing.
He
does have an office.
It's not when they haven't declared him the fucking next president.
You're right. But there is an office space for them.
Sure.
They have certain – they have access to certain assets.
But not until they've been officially fucking declared.
Oh, and not the way the media is portraying.
No. Like what he says is a big fucking – oh, God, this is what he wants to do. Who gives a shit what he wants to do?
Talk to me about it again on the 21st.
Exactly. I'll care about after fucking January 20th. If by then we even have fucking results then. This is a joke. If you're an American, you're not upset about this. I don't care. At this point, I don't care if Biden wins or not. That's not the fucking problem. The problem is that the process has been so fucking corrupted. You shouldn't have faith in it.
No.
Whatever the results are, you shouldn't believe them. I don't care if Trump wins.
Mm.
You shouldn't believe that. All right. Are you trying to tell me that the media lies? That's one of the comments. Yeah.
Yes.
I know. It's a shocker, but heads up. Heads up, America. All right. Red Bar, your moment, go.
Super funny that I picked this morning when I sat down in here because I was thinking about something. Stop complaining about 2020. Jesus fucking Christ. Right? Like this is a little off from what my normal Red Wire Gear moments are. But for God's sake, stop complaining about 2020. It hasn't really been that bad. Like in the grand scheme of things, it hasn't been that bad. Right? We all talk, and I talked about this a little bit on my live feed this morning as I was driving down. I can still flush my toilet. I can still buy food for my family. I'm in better shape now than I was in 2019 or even 2018. I'm closer to my family. I've spent way more time with them. You know, I have a better understanding of the way my children operate and the way my wife works and thinks and all of the things that she goes through to do the things that she does for our family. I have a much better understanding of that. I am in a unique situation where it's worked out well for me financially this year. I understand that hasn't worked out well for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But in the grand scheme of things, 2020 ain't that bad. Stop complaining about it and do something to make it better. If you're having a hard time, look at what you're doing and make a change. It's like I tell people every day, every Monday morning on my show. If you hate Mondays, I feel bad for you. Change your life. And that's what I've got for this week's Red Wire Gear Moment.
Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by RedWireGear.com.
Oh, and pay attention to your inboxes this week. The sales email thing will be coming out for Black Friday and the holiday season. There we go.
There was an article that one of my sisters had sent to me last week about like people who are chronically depressed and people who determine that they're unhappy. They had done this like focus group with them, and I'm going to butcher some of these things because I'm not going to pull it up and look at it because I don't really fucking care that much. But the article was interesting because what it talked about was like they interviewed all these people and they were like, what are the things that make you the most depressed? What are the things that make you the most unhappy? And then people would tell them. And then they would sit with those same people and they would go back into their lives and they would realize, like, you're doing all those things. You know, the things that tend to make you the least happy, you're doing. The things that tend to make you the most depressed, you're doing those things. Like, it's a perpetuating cycle. You got to get out of the cycle, man.
Mm-hmm.
2020 has been a rough year for a lot of people, but so was 2008. 2008 was a fucking rough year for me financially. Fucking one of my worst years ever.
Yeah.
You know, because of the freaking collapse, I lost a bunch of investments. It was a freaking nightmare. 2020 has been a rough year, too. And I'm sure 10 or 12 years from now, there'll be another rough one.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Toilet's still flush, lights still come on, kid's still healthy. Drew hasn't stabbed me to death in my sleep yet. Things are pretty good. She's thinking about it. Look at her.
I'm thinking about not dying.
Oh, okay. Me not dying, I hope. One of our guys says, I disagree. 2020 blows more than a $2 whore, but I do agree to stop bitching about it and capitalize. That's good. What else? Odds on more riots is a question. Yeah, I'll put good odds on more riots, especially if it does get verified that Trump took the election.
If Trump wins,
there's going to be definitely some more protests and
yeah.
and
they're going to take those stupid fucking love thy neighbor thing.
And that's going to go right away. That's going to go instantly away.
And they're going to start burning shit down again.
And you'll be like, what about the everybody loves everybody thing? Oh, no.
Our stupid fucking neighbor has one of them. And every time I drive by it, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
But I respect their opinion to be an idiot.
Yeah.
Just don't bring your idiocy over here. Because I don't dig it.
No, do me.
Just don't come over here.
And it happens to be our...
it's our HOA lady, isn't it? Yeah. She's a nice lady, too.
She's a very nice lady.
So fucking nice. Her dog gets out all the time.
Her house is like the shittiest house on the block.
She's the HOA president, and her house is the worst house on the block.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean,
that's why she doesn't give a shit for anything.
Yeah.
if we forget to, you know, get the leaves out of the yard or something, it's pretty uncommon for she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, because her house is like,
it's like an HOA violation. Just
yeah, overall. If they saw her house, they'd be like, yeah, you cannot.
You're not the president
be,
anymore.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
She has a grill that's permanently like set in her driveway. Yeah, it's odd.
There's some interesting things. Her dog gets out like all the time
because they don't lock their door.
They never like shut their door. The dog's out like all the time. I always have to chase it down and grab it, take it back to her.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how he got him. I probably got him the same way he got it the other 500 fucking times I brought him back. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, still getting out the same way, but whatever. So, anyways. Yeah, so now, so that's the issue. Like, what was just commented on Facebook is it's adult temper tantrums now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's people going like, well, I don't agree with it, so I'm going to go burn a city. Like, dude, be pissed, be upset, but look for a better solution on how to handle something. But if you're going to threaten violence and that shit against me, let's do it. Let's dance, man.
Party.
Oh, but we're not going to. Yeah, they don't actually want to do that.
Yeah. Not enough of them.
Either. Not enough. Shame. All right. On to the topic. We're halfway through the show. Kind of related.
Sort of.
Take a ride on topical here. Ammo crisis and how to get the most out of what you have.
Oof.
So I will say a lot of people ask. There's two questions I want to answer, actually. A lot of people ask me these two questions. I answer these two questions as an instructor and in the business more every week since all this shit began than ever before. The first question I answer is, where can I get more ammo? In the beginning of this, I had an answer for you.
Anywhere now, you can find it.
Wherever you can find it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give up my sources. Yes, I still get ammo. No, I'm not going to tell you where.
Yeah.
Because they're super freaking limited.
Yep.
And they can only provide a few of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep that a little secret for now.
Yeah.
In the same vein, no, we're not selling ammo to students anymore. In the beginning, we were. Now, we're not. Well, students take advantage of it, I'm not fucking into it.
Well, that and it's getting more and more scarce the further we get into this.
I mean, I'm talking to some companies that are like, see you in mid-2021, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe early or maybe late 2021, you know. The other question that I have people ask in addition to, you know, that, you know, where do you get the ammo is, have you ever seen this bad before? No.
No, this is for sure the worst.
This is the worst. This is the worst it's ever been.
2012, 2013 was pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
And then everything kind of caught back up and prices normalized. And
I've never seen, I shouldn't say never. It's been a long time since I've seen 1,000 rounds of 5.56 go for $900. I mean, I was telling Drew this morning, I'm like, I'm tempted to sell some ammo. Ammo's the only thing that matters right now. No one's going crazy on guns. Gun prices and guns are starting to get restocked.
Yeah.
They're still hard to find, some of them, but for the most part, you can still buy guns.
Well, it's because people stopped buying guns because they can't buy ammo for them anymore.
And guns are expensive. They're way more expensive, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not now more than ammo, but you know, parts, pieces, accessories, they're harder to get because a lot of that stuff gets imported from overseas, and that's become a problem. Industry has been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing has become an issue. Places have to shut down for COVID and stuff like that. It's difficult. So the little stuff. But ammo, never seen it this bad.
Mm-mm.
Literally never seen it. Someone just posted a BulkAmmo.com is selling 100-round value packs for over $1 a round in 9mm. Jiminy Christmas. $1 a round for 9mm. The most any of my students have paid right now have been $800 per thousand.
It's not bad.
It's 80 cents a round for 9mm.
Right. Annette said I can go home. I'm going home.
She didn't say go home.
she told me to
take some time. You took all day yesterday.
And I'm still sick.
You can give me an hour and a half today. Don't worry.
Are you even trying to get over this?
I'm trying.
Jesus.
I'll take you home after this. Don't worry. Primers. Yeah. So part of the issue that a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of the components required for primers and powder only come out of a couple different sources.
Mm-hmm.
And those sources, get ready, are monopolized by
the government.
The government. And so their interest in them is pretty selfish because they need ammunition for their own needs. So, yeah.
Yes, I have Druvid.
Yeah.
It's not Druvid. COVID, but it's Druvid.
So That's insane, man. I mean, the quality or the quantity of ammo that is not available is crazy. So we all know it exists. We all know it's crazy. We all know it might continue for a while. Here's some things you can do, in my opinion, to get the most out of what you got.
Dry practice more, dummies.
Dry practice a lot.
Like a lot.
We just did a video, actually, on the independence training.
Ooh, a nice hot toddy in that set. I didn't see that.
Oh, there you go. We just did a video on the independence training Instagram page about ammo crisis. A few minutes long. Worth watching if you want more information or a reminder or whatever of this shit. But dry practice. That's going to be huge. Here's the thing. Actually, let me preface all this with saying this. The things we're about to tell you are the things we've always preached.
Yes.
The things we're about to tell you is always getting the most out of your ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really have an ammo shortage issue because I don't go to the range and just fucking blast through rounds when I practice. I just don't. I take my time. I make sure my shots are weighed and measured and analyzed. So, thing one, you got more dry practice. There's literally nothing that we teach you can't dry practice. You know, other than actual marksmanship. And if you want a marksmanship, dude, get a really high-quality airsoft gun.
Yeah.
Buy a UTM conversion. Those rounds are still kind of expensive, but cheaper right now, I think, actually, than real ammo. Get an airsoft gun. Those things are crazy inexpensive in ammo costs. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts how inexpensive an airsoft pistol is. You want to practice, and you can practice that shit in your backyard.
Yep.
Do that. Work through that concept. You know, dry practice, just literally dry, just your gun, dry practice. Get dry practice aids like Mantis X or the Barrel Block system. These are all relatively inexpensive that will help you get the most out of your dry practice. So get them. Right? Some people just like to freaking burn that money down. And like, that's great, dude. Show me that your rounds are mattering.
Are you being better?
Volume of fire, quantity does not make up for quality of fire, right? Mm-hmm. It never has and it never will. I watch people train. They get all dressed up in their shit. They go to the range. They double knee slide all over the fucking place. They burn a whole bunch of freaking rounds down range. And next thing you know, they still have they're not any better. They haven't improved. I've been around. There are some shooters I won't name, all right? But there's some shooters, even some of our clients, it's like they've been around us for years and they still aren't getting it.
No.
We go practice. We do not burn it down. We don't go to the range and fire hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds. We don't. It's not needed. I want good repetition, not lots of repetition if it's not good repetition. Mm-hmm. Man, we get a lot of comments today.
Yeah, just practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Just purchased a CMMG 22LR conversion bolt and mags. Opinions on training fundamentals. So I'm a huge fan of those CMMG conversions. I also really like just the dedicated Smith & Wesson M&P 15-22.
Yeah.
And definitely get yourself a good 22 pistol. Glock makes a nice one now. I really like the Ruger SR9.
Did that one stop exploding?
They did stop exploding.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of various good options out there for 22 pistol. Opinions on training with it for fundamentals if you're going to go rimfire, which is kind of another thing to talk about here with the ammunition. Going rimfire. Rimfire is relatively inexpensive. Even if you can find it and it's more expensive now, you could double the price of rimfire and it's still really cheap.
Yeah.
You could triple the price of rimfire and it's still really cheap. So, and honestly, after the last madness, remember, where 22 rimfire was gone for years?
It like disappeared.
Yeah, you should have stocked up after that shit.
Yeah.
All right? I've got enough rimfire to probably practice for the rest of my life, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not hard when it's like, oh, that's inexpensive. It's $20. Let me grab another box. You know, it's $20. Let me grab another box every week, every month, whatever. You can spare that $20.
Yeah.
And
well, that's how my ammo got to where it is.
It's insane.
You know, for a while when Walmart was still selling it, you know, I go grocery shopping every week, go buy a box of 50, stick it in the fucking safe, right? Like that's cool. I'll grab some of that while I'm here at the store. That's a better price than what I'm getting there. You know.
Oh, yeah. So, some opinions on training with rimfire for fundamentals is mostly this. Understand that you're not going to get the same accuracy. So you need to, whatever 22 ammo you have, you need to test it out of your 22 guns to see what the accuracy capability is. There is some very accurate 22, and then there's a lot of mass-produced 22 that's just fucking garbage and not very accurate. So you're going to limit your accuracy capability, and you're going to limit your distances. Obviously, it's 22, right?
Right.
So make sure, excuse me, that if you're training with it on fundamentals, You know going into it, you take a day, test the accuracy capability of the rounds, test the legitimate distance of the rounds. Then, when you train, set up your targets that way. That means you may be shooting targets closer.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You may be shooting bigger targets. That's okay. You're still applying the good fundamentals. It's literally the projectile that's the problem.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm still applying the good fundamentals, I know the accuracy I'm working within. You know, well, if I pick up an old 8mm Mauser, right, and I pick up my freaking custom precision rifle and I'm going to shoot them both at 100, 200 yards, I know what to expect. I can apply the best fundamentals in the world and that Mauser may or may not get the job done. My precision rifle is going to be boringly accurate.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm going to train with the other, then I need to know and expect what those accuracy standards are going to be. So know going into it what that's going to be. So rimfire, obviously an option. Dry practice, always an option. One of the things that we were talking about that we're actually going to do next week's show on, is something we'll touch on this week as well, is other skills.
Yeah.
Next week we're going to talk more about defensive skills, but this week we'll just say all the other skills. Start spending more time with your kids.
Yeah.
God forbid. Right? Play more board games. Put more puzzles together. Do more brain exercises. Go enroll in an online school.
Read books.
Read some books.
Do more exercise.
Get more physically fit. Work on that project you've been putting off.
Yeah.
Create more value in your life that doesn't just focus on your abilities as a shooter. I see people, I competed with them. Their whole life is guns. Mm-hmm. It's their whole life. If they're on their phone looking at something, it's guns. If they want to talk about something, it's guns. If they want to do, it's guns all the time. After a while, I'm like, dude, we have nothing to fucking talk about. What else do you do? You know what I mean? Like, what other exciting things do you,
That's it, man.
That's good for them. Like, yeah, but my point is.
No, like, I'm saying that's it for them.
Oh, that's it for them. Yeah, it's like, that's it. Well, no, it's just this. It's just this.
Well, it's the same. But you run into that same situation with
anything. Motorcycles. Guns,
yeah,
whatever. Like baseball, whatever. Sports.
Specialization whatever. Is for insects.
Specialization for insects. We've done a show on it.
This is the perfect time to get out of that mindset. Mm-hmm.
Look at other things. Go to the range. Low round count exercises with high shot accountability. Throw in some dry practice. Use your fucking rim fires. And there you go. Drew and I are going to the range tomorrow, assuming she's not dying. Drew and I are going to the range tomorrow. What are we going to work on? Low round count exercises, throw in some dry practice. We're going to bring the rim fires.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, we're not just preaching this shit, guys. We're practicing it. Like, this is a way to really focus. Go to the range and say, I had a private student 3 weeks ago now or so. She showed up to class and she was like, hey, I'm really low on my 9mm, so I would like to get the most I can out of 50 rounds. And I was like, awesome. In 2 hours of private training, just the two of us, she's being the only shooter, we got the most out of that 50 rounds. And this lady's been training with me for years, and I bet she got more out of that 50 rounds than some of our previous sessions for sure. We were super high shot accountability, super low round count exercises, lots of analysis, videoing, going back, reviewing what she did, reviewing how it looked. She's working on drawing from a new concealment method. You know, we're working on this. It's like, dude, we got a ton out of those 50 rounds.
Yep.
And the last few, she just fired because she was like, okay, now I just want to shoot that target real fast with like the last few rounds. So it's like really we fired like 46 rounds and they were like super specific.
Yeah.
And she definitely, we saw marked improvement from here to there, right? From the beginning to the end. So it's like, look at all the other skill sets that you can work on during this ammo crisis. Take a step back for a second and ask yourself, am I one of these people that's just constantly buying gun accessories? Like the majority of my income goes towards gun accessories. The majority of my income goes toward guns. I got to have all this night vision. I got to have all this fucking body armor. I got to have all this stuff. Like, cool, man, we have all that shit. I'm not saying don't have it. Just saying, is that where all your money's going? Do you have any other hobbies?
Yeah.
Do you have any other interests? Do you have any other energy that you're putting into something else? Because if not, this is a good time, like John said, to really look at yourself and go, maybe I'm a little too focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I need to step back a little bit and read a book about not guns. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe you need to look at something else. You know? We had an interesting conversation with one of our instructors, Drew and I did, last week. And he was in the office with us, and we started talking about religion a little bit. And we were talking about – he was kind of telling us his path of religion and where he's at now with it and stuff. And we were discussing it, and he was like, man, he's like, I've really stepped back from just being a shooter. Like, that was like my identity, you know, being a shooter. And he's like, I've stepped back from that. And he's, you know, like a lot of our instructors, he's an adjunct instructor. He works with us when we need him to work with us. And the rest of the time, he has a full-time job. And he's like, I looked more at my professional development. I looked more at my personal development. I stepped back from just being a shooter. And I can tell you, I've done the same thing. I used to compete insanely. You know, I was going to a match or two a month, big matches, you know, big events, multi-days, out of state, lots of money into it, lots of energy into it. I do well at those events. I do well enough that it keeps me going back. I mean, I'm typically top three, top five, maybe even first place in a few, you know, few good cases. Like, but I'm good enough that I can fucking hang. So I looked at that and was like, I had some other things going on in my life with divorce, kids, mine and Drew's new relationship, new stuff with business that was more important to me. Then how many fucking matches can I get in? And then I'm able to step back from that and go like, man, I need to be better at these other things in my life that are maybe more important than just going to a match and winning again.
But at the time, the matches were important because they did a couple of things for you.
They were important. Mostly, they got me away from a very specific individual. But
yeah, they were being used to mask other problems.
They were being used to mask other problems. That's absolutely correct. But I mean, that was the importance of being able to step back and go like,
yeah,
hold on a second. Why am I really doing this?
Exactly.
You know, am I like, oh my God, I'm improving from this match? Not really. Now, sometimes I will. Like, I'll say we went and did that. You know, Josh and I did that Team Steel Safari last month.
Yeah.
I got a lot out of that match. It's also the only major match I've shot this year.
Well, you know? You did that one, but it was COVID. Remember when you and Josh did that thing? You had to take
videos? Oh, yeah. We did like the videoed match. Yeah.
It was the Warhorse matches.
Yeah, it was one of the Warhorse matches. Yeah, it was like a COVID
that
video.
That was like in the very beginning.
That was, yeah. But I mean, like, we went someplace multiple days. That thing took us a few hours, you know. So that was like, I walked away from that going like, oh, shit. I learned something from that. Like, I improved. And we still did well, and we haven't really practice much. I haven't been getting ready for competition or anything like that, but we were still in the top 10 easily.
Yeah.
We would have been in the top 5, but somebody dropped the ball on a stage and it wasn't Josh. Otherwise, I'd been in like 4th place, but oops.
It happens. It's how we learn.
But that's part of what I learned. Like, we learned a lot and we still did well. Well enough that I'm like, yep, still got it. Still doing good. If I practice like these other dudes, it's always fun when we can go there and like, some of the guys who like battled it to be in the top 10 are like, man, like how many matches I've been to, 15 matches this year, 20 matches or whatever. And like,
I just took blah, 6 months off.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I grabbed my rifle and some ammo out of the safe this morning.
I'm like, yeah, I kind of, you know, jokingly showed up.
That's how we used to show up for races.
Yeah.
It's be like, hey, we got that thing tomorrow. Oh, where are my running shoes?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I lost them.
And it's good to know, like, you still got it, right? But on the other hand of things, you're like, I step back and go, do I really need that right now?
Yeah.
How many more of those matches do I need right now? I don't. You know, I'd like to go do some other very specific events, like SAC. I really miss doing that this year. Yeah. You know, those are events that challenge me and push me, and I really like them. I like the failure aspects of those matches. But,
yeah,
you know, another run-and-gun action match, what am I really getting at it? And these with
enjoyment.
But with the change in my life, like, is it really that much fun to go and burn up all that ammo? Like, that's my point. Do I need to do that right now in an ammo crisis to kind of get back in the same vein? Like, do I need to go to an ammo crisis and burn up lots of freaking ammo to prove what? That I can still beat a lot of people? I'm good at what I do. It's why I do it professionally. I'm good at it. So why do I need to go prove just burn up a bunch of ammo? That's my point. Like, look at the other skill sets. I've become a better father since I stopped doing so many matches. You know, I become a better friend to Drew since I stopped doing so many matches.
I've always supported you with him.
You totally support me. That I'm not saying. I'm saying I become a better friend to you. I become a better dad. I become a better businessman. I become a better friend to other people since my focus shifted away from those kinds of things. That's what an ammo crisis can force you to do, is to sit back and go, now hold on, if I don't really want to shoot this ammo, what else can I do with my life that's going to make me a better person? Next week, we're going to talk about defensive tactics and defensive skills that we can use. You know, look at our schoolhouse courses. You know, those things are no ammo. They're working on our movement structures. We've worked on external ballistics, how to get the most out of the shots that you're taking. We've got a low light, no light IFAT class coming up. We've got all kinds of cool programs, man. We've got a body armor event coming up, the herbal medicine thing. You know, like, come to a class and learn something different. And if you're not near us, great. Go wherever and find some
people. Become a patron. And you'll get those classes for free.
And you can get the videos as part of your patronage.
Free.
For quote unquote free. For your monthly patronage, you can get the classes, right?
Yeah.
But that's my point, man. Like, look at the other things that you're not doing in your life. Use this ammo crisis as a reason to clean your fucking garage. Or go through your clothes.
Oh my God, dude.
Or get rid of your baseball card collection or whatever, right? Whatever the fuck it is. All right, go look, clean up your backyard.
Refocus.
Build some shit.
Refocus your life.
Paint your fucking house, right? Play some board games. They're a lot of fun. Play some card games. Put a puzzle together. I built a puzzle the other day. So for my birthday, Drew and the kids, one of the things they got me was there's this really funny picture of Zero, our 100-pound puppy, that I got one morning when I was playing ball with him. He was running back toward me, and he was just slobbering. And I took this really great photo. I'm not a photographer. I just happened to accidentally catch a really good photo of him running towards me, ball in mouth, drool hanging down, looking happy, happy, happy. And I had – we'd made this picture – we made this picture into a sticker, and then now Drew had it made into a puzzle, like a 500-piece puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's too many pieces.
So for the first time in a long freaking time, I sat down and did a puzzle.
By himself.
All by myself.
Because I was sleeping. Because she was asleep. 3 o'clock in the morning.
I did it super early in the morning because I couldn't sleep. But I was like, okay, what are all the things? I could do something gun related, or I could do something that's going to help me, right? That helped me more than any gun related shit I could have done.
Yeah.
So I sat down, spread out on the table. I did a freaking puzzle. Took me hours to do it, and I got it all done, and it was awesome. The biggest problem was half of it is grass. Half of it is green blades of grass. Let me tell you what, it's pretty fucking hard. It's hard to find which green blades of grass goes with this other green blade of grass. But that was a ton of fun, man. Like, that was a lot. That was just a brain exercise and a personal enrichment thing I could do. It was not gun related. I wasn't on a video game shooting people with guns.
Yeah.
I wasn't online reading about guns. I wasn't shooting guns. I wasn't prepping my mags. I wasn't upgrading or updating something on one of my firearms. I was doing something totally unrelated.
You ever seen the puzzle in my garage?
I don't think so.
10,000 pieces.
Oh, yeah. Don't you guys do it like only on one day every year? You guys sit down.
Old world map.
Mm.
So we've been working on it a lot more lately. We'll pop open the garage door and the boys will ride their bicycles around and we'll just work on it. And it's quite possibly the worst possible fucking puzzle that you could ever do, because it's a map and it's all like one color and then there's grid lines and it's written in Latin. And
yes.
It's fucking terrible, but it is about 3/4 of the way done now. My wife did a lot on it while I was gone on my last set of travels. Like, a lot. But no, we work on it more than once a year. That was the running joke for a while, because that was really all she did. But with her working from home, she's had the opportunity to refocus her life as well. Right? She's not really into the gun thing anyway, but she's begun to work on some of the other things that bring her enjoyment again. So
we've had some comments here. I'm glad you guys all enjoy my rants. There's a lot of comments about my rant. Appreciate that. The reading list, the arms room reading list. We have put it up before.
I'm gonna find it and
Drew will track it down. And there's so much more. I mean,
oh God,
we probably could add a few more books to it. To be honest,
I'm reading a book right now called Something of Value about African farmers and ranchers in South Africa back in like the 40s and 50s. And some of the crazy stuff I'm learning in this book. It's a novel based on historical facts. And what I'm learning about like African tribal culture, bro, it's insane. Their religious stuff is nuts. Good for them. I'm not judging them for it, but wow. Wow.
It's a lot. Never knew. Commitment.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. It's a hell of a good book, though. Something of Value. Pretty good book. And kind of cool just to read about Africa. There's a little bit of hunting stuff in there, so it's kind of cool for me. It keeps me interested. So yeah, we'll find that out. Hiking and camping. How about going hiking and camping? Hell yeah, man. I'll say this. Drew and I went and hiked Devil's Bridge a couple weeks ago up in Sedona. It was a great time. We went up there, drove up, grabbed some beers from the local Whole Foods or whatever, which, by the way,
holy cow,
Whole Foods beer selection, holy shit.
Yeah. They've got.
I didn't know.
It's all IPAs, though. That's the
No. Problem. It's not. I'm not an IPA guy, Fala. And let me tell you what. I found some cool shit.
Yeah, they've
yeah, holy shit.
They have a really good cider selection, too, if you're into ciders.
It was awesome. So anyway, we grab some beers. We go up into Devil's Bridge, throw the beers in the backpack, hike up to Devil's Bridge, meet some really cool people, beautiful, beautiful scenery, have a great time, take some cool photos, come back down, get off trail, explore a little, drink our beers, enjoy it, hike back to the truck, get in the truck, decide, man, there's this badass little four-wheel road. Let's jump on this. We're in the 4Runner, so it's like, let's jump in the freaking four-wheel road and check out, use this damn 4Runner for what it's made to be. We go all the way back. It takes us to this cool trailhead that I'd like to go back and hike. I didn't even know this trailhead existed. Go back and find this cool trailhead at the end of this busted-ass freaking road.
What's the trailhead?
I do not freaking remember. I have to look it up on a map.
All right.
But, drive back in the dark, enjoy, get to watch a guy rip his muffler off. That was tons of fun.
Yeah, that's always great. Because I know exactly what road you're talking about. I've driven that road
in
a fucking Hyundai Sonata.
So we get up over it. We get to the end, and then, we drive home, stop, have dinner. It's like, way more fulfilling than any range trip I'm ever going to take.
Yeah, Devil's Bridge is a cool hike. It's short hike.
Sure. Cool, yeah, totally short, but tons of fun.
And I like how people don't always show the line on Instagram. They just do their cool guy Instagram photos.
What do you mean?
The line to go on to Devil's
Bridge. Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, here I am on Devil's Bridge. And you're like, awesome. And then they don't show that there's a freaking line that's 20 people long.
Did you
can just wait, run up there, take your photo, and then take the photo for the next people. And then you're off because there's 20 more people waiting. Yeah. Pretty crazy shit. Whatever. So what can you do during the ammo crisis? Become a better person.
There you go.
Use it as an opportunity to stop being so gun-focused. And look, man, we sell training classes. That's how we make a living.
I sell gun accessories. That's how I make a living.
So understand that we want you to take training. We want you to buy gun accessories. We want you to buy ammo. We want you to buy guns. That helps to keep the industry going, keeps us alive.
But that's not all we do.
But that's not all we do. We are not just that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's an important lesson that people learn over the years.
It's not my identity.
No, I think that's an important lesson overall to veer slightly off. It's a good lesson for veterans to learn. You are not just that thing you did for however many years you did it for.
Usually a few for most people.
Yeah. The majority, it's
And most eight of you bitched less. Nonstop, by the way, while you were there. And now refer to it as the greatest time in your life. It either makes me concerned about what's currently going on in your life or makes me think that you're over-romanticizing the past.
Both of which are probably true statements. Yeah.
And if you got out as not an NCO, then you probably didn't really experience all that the military has to offer anyway. So relax, man.
Just chill out, bro.
It didn't define you.
It's a thing you did.
It's cool. I also worked concrete.
I've roofed. I've painted houses. Mm-hmm. I've built things. Mm-hmm. I was a lot porter for a while, which basically just means I drove rich people's cars around at a fucking car dealership and washed them before they picked them up after they got serviced.
And that was after the Marine Corps.
That was after I got out of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, that was between the Marine Corps and the National Guard.
Yeah. I was a jewelry salesman.
Ah, the Army National Guard.
I sold jewelry for Zales. Yeah. I've done a lot of stuff.
So you got to diversify, man.
Yep.
Yeah, here's another good note. Learn to cook a meal.
Oh, my God.
Learn to cook a meal.
I thought that was like a thing. I thought everybody learned how to cook in the beginning of this, during the first lockdown. I thought that's what everyone was doing. Everyone was making bread and cooking. I thought that was the thing.
Turns out, no.
I guess not.
If you cannot cook a half a dozen good meals, that should be a focus for you.
If you haven't figured out how to make an omelet yet.
Make an omelet.
Put your fucking guns in the safe.
Not that hard.
Safe. No, really.
Not that hard. Well, you should know.
I'm an idiot.
You should know if you should know how to make
the, if you can't your, grill a steak,
you should know how to make your loved ones a nice breakfast,
yeah,
a nice lunch,
yeah,
a nice dinner.
Yeah.
You should know how to do that. Six meals. That gives you three different meals for 2 days. And then mix them up into various combinations. I'm not a mather, but if you take those three things and you times it by two, and then you times that by a lot of different variations, you got a fuckload of different variations, go for it. All right?
Yep.
Experiment with your food. Find out what's good and what's not. If you've been eating the same way, the same food for a long time, try something new.
We've been doing that because we found a new...
Go eat a baby octopus.
We started...
Most insane thing I've ever done with food, and I'll tell you, it'll fucking change you.
Yeah. We started getting a certain amount of our groceries from this place called Imperfect Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like different fruits and stuff. That stuff we wouldn't normally buy or whatever, but you can buy one or two of them. And we've been trying new stuff. The kids have been trying new stuff. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
So I've learned new recipes.
Yeah.
I heard not cook, but I've been trying a lot of new different things for the kids.
Mm-hmm. It's been going great.
Yeah. Force those little bastards to eat everything. I'm just kidding.
You better eat this. What's that?
Trying to feed kids sucks.
Feeding kids is a hassle, man. Dude, especially when you get the more you have, it's exponentially harder.
We have one that eats very – we have two that eats very well. The oldest and the youngest.
Yeah.
They eat the
Everybody
best.
Else in the middle is like, no, I only want fried fucking things.
I
will only eat chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese – and green beans.
Or no. I will only eat these things. Not any chicken nuggets.
Only these chicken nuggets.
I will only eat this type of grilled chicken.
Yes.
I will only eat this type of macaroni. You're like, okay,
yes.
Hey, we made you some spaghetti. What is this? It's spaghetti. But this isn't like the other spaghetti. I know it's different, but it's still spaghetti.
Yeah, if I do a homemade mac and cheese, they'll be like, we're not eating this. I'm like, it's fucking mac and cheese, bro.
Yeah.
It's like,
but it's
good
not Kraft. So,
also, yes, Christopher, sandwiches don't count. All right.
Yeah, no,
sandwiches. Not cooking. It's not cooking unless you cook something to put in the sandwich, right?
I don't know. You can make some pretty gourmet sandwiches.
If you made something to put in the sandwich, here's the thing.
Do you remember that? You're like, I don't remember. You
sandwiches aren't hard to make though. You take some variation.
But it depends on what you're putting in there.
It's about
making an elk heart sandwich.
Right. Well, you have to kill the elk. Right. There's a lot
That's
more
where you started.
But
I started making this sandwich months ago.
Making a sandwich is easy.
Yeah.
One or two slices of something to put it between, some condiments.
Sure.
Some green stuff.
Mm.
And maybe some meat if that's what you're doing here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you put it together, and there's the sandwich. That's not hard. My fucking six-year-old can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He understands the basic concepts of making a sandwich. So I agree, making sandwiches doesn't count. But I also agree with you that if you killed the elk and now you have to slice and prepare the meat.
I boiled
properly,
the heart, then I stuffed it,
right.
Then I baked it,
but
I sliced it.
But what you did, you didn't make an elk heart sandwich. You prepared some elk heart
and then
you
made a sandwich
into a sandwich.
That's like turkey sandwiches after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm not cooking if I'm just making a turkey sandwich. I see your point. I cooked the turkey. I made a fucking sandwich.
I made a sandwich.
I track you. I'm tracking what you're putting
in. All right.
I got you. All right. Well, remember, you can bring us out to train with you if you want these wonderful opinions in person.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
If you're not already training with us, you ought to be. All of our firearms courses have always been low round count and always will be low round count and always will be capable of being shot dry a lot. We just taught a 3-day precision rifle class this past weekend where the majority of our shooters shot literally half of the ammo that they brought to shoot, which was 300 rounds is what we recommend for the class. Most shooters shot 150 rounds or so over 3 days. All right, I'm telling you, you can do it. You can reduce your round count. You do not have to shoot round after round after round. It's about quality. Come to our classes. We'll show you what we're talking about. If you ever go to a class, let me get on this high horse for a second. If you ever go to a class.
And they recommend 1,500 pistol and they rounds recommend for a one-day class?
Thousands of rounds for 1 or 2 days. Fucking don't.
We've played that game.
Just don't go. Just ask what the refund policy is. I don't give a fuck who they are, who they serve, or where they came from. If they want to waste your ammo, any dime. I don't care if this was 4 years ago when ammo was aplenty.
Yeah.
Right? If someone just,
it's still a waste
just
of ammo.
Wants to burn it down, accuracy by volume shit, that's something to consider. Use this opportunity to look at those kinds of guys and notice they're not teaching as much. What a shocker. Because their programs are based on fuck loads of rounds downrange and minimal shot accountability. It's a problem. It's a very serious problem in our training industry. If you want to train with us, we always have high shot accountability, low round counts. We've got our schoolhouse courses going on that are no round counts, no live fire. And yet people like when we just did a 2-week or not 2-week long, but two classes once back a week.
A series.
Of our arm movement and structures class, or our structural arm movement class. And people were like, dude, I got more out of this than any shooting class I've ever taken. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Because it's not a class they've ever taken.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Because you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. So take a look at those kinds of programs. Look at other skills that you're doing. But if you want us to train with you and you're not training with us locally and you want us to come to you, we can. info@trainingaz.com. You get all the information about hosting us. It's pretty easy to host us. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as all of our wonderful organizations here, The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Check out the other shows that they have on the network. If you got your Arms Room stickers, the Sabretooth stickers, make sure to send us a photo. We're getting some cool freaking photos from you guys. We've got them on firefighting helmets. We've got them on toolboxes. We've got them on outdoor gear. So we've got some cool photos. So make sure you send them over if you got them. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And celebrate Thanksgiving the way you want to. Fuck what the governor or whoever, wherever you live.
Whoever.
Fuck them. Right? Like, literally, fuck them.
Live free.
Yeah.
Or die.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't be a bitch. Invite your family over. Go to your family's house.
Yep.
Do whatever it is you're going to do. Do the same shit you did last year and whatever it was you plan to do this year. Do that. Keep doing that.
Love your people. Love your family. Be with them. Who cares what anybody else has to say? Do your thing. Remember what it's about. It's not about commercialism. It's not about how much shit you can buy. It's not about making sure everybody's having a good time or being the perfect host. It's about being thankful for what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Find what you're thankful for. Celebrate what you're thankful for. Let the people in your life that you love and care about know that you're thankful for them.
Word.
Don't forget about that. Next week, we'll be talking about it's time to work on other defensive skills, kind of a feed off of this week, but we're going to talk more about some of the defensive tactics and techniques that you need to be focused on specifically during these crazy times. Until then, stay safe and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.